Chapter 23. Companion. The next moment, as the forms of four of the islanders were seen in bold relief against the illuminated background mounting the Pi Pi and approaching towards us. They came on noiselessly, nay stealthily, and glided along through the gloom that surrounded us, as if about to spring upon some object they were fearful of disturbing, before they should make sure of it. Gracious heaven! The horrible reflections which crowded upon me that moment. A cold sweat stood upon my brow, and spellbound with terror I awaited my fate. Suddenly the silence was broken by the well-remembered tones of Mehevi, and at the kindly accents of his voice my fears were immediately dissipated. Tomo, Toby, K.I. Kai. Apostrophe eat. He had waited to address us, until he had assured himself that we were both awake, at which he seemed somewhat surprised. K.I. Kai, is it? Apostrophe said Toby in his gruff tones. Well, cook us first, will you? But what's this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he added, as another savage appeared, bearing before him a large trencher of wood containing some kind of steaming meat, as appeared from the odors it diffused, and which he deposited at the feet of Mehevi. A baked baby, I dare say I, but I will have none of it, never mind what it is. A pretty fool I should make of myself, indeed, waked up here in the middle of the night, stuffing, and guzzling, and all to make a fat meal for a parcel of booby-minded cannibals one of these mornings. No, I see what they are at very plainly, so I am resolved to starve myself into a bunch of bones and gristle, and then, if they serve me up, they are welcome. But I say, Tomo, you are not going to eat any of that mess there, in the dark, are you? Why, how can you tell what it is? Apostrophe, by tasting it, to be sure, apostrophe said I, masticating a morsel that Cory had just put in my mouth, and excellently good it is too, very much like veal. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a baked baby, by the soul of Captain Cook. Apostrophe, apostrophe, burst forth Toby, with amazing vehemence. Veal? Why, there never was a calf on the island till you landed. I tell you, you are bolting down mouthfuls from a dead tapper's carcass, as sure as you live, and no mistake. Apostrophe, apostrophe, emetics and lukewarm water. What a sensation in the abdominal region. Sure enough, where could the fiends incarnate have obtained meat? But I resolved to satisfy myself at all hazards. And turning to Mehevi, I soon made the ready chief understand that I wished a light to be brought. When the taper came, I gazed eagerly into the vessel, and recognized the mutilated remains of a juvenile porker. Pewarki! Apostrophe exclaimed Cory, looking complacently at the dish. And from that day to this, I have never forgotten that such is the designation of a pig in the Taipei lingo. The next morning, after being again abundantly feasted by the hospitable Mehevi, Toby and myself arose to depart. But the chief requested us to postpone our intention. Abo,
wait,
he said, and accordingly we resumed our seats, while, assisted by the zealous Cory, he appeared to be engaged in giving directions to a number of the natives outside, who were busily employed in making arrangements, the nature of which we could not comprehend. But we were not left long in our ignorance, for a few moments only had elapsed when the chief beckoned us to approach, and we perceived that he had been marshalling a kind of guard of honor to escort us on our return to the house of Marheyo. The procession was led off by two venerable-looking savages, each provided with a spear, from the end of which streamed a pennon of milk-white tappa. After them went several youths, bearing aloft calabashes of poi poi, and followed in their turn by four stalwart fellows, sustaining long bamboos, from the tops of which hung suspended, at least 20 feet from the ground, large baskets of green breadfruits. Then came a troop of boys, K. carrying bunches of ripe bananas, and baskets made of the woven leaflets of coconut boughs, filled with the young fruit of the tree, the naked shells stripped of their husks peeping forth from the verdant wickerwork that surrounded them. Last of all came a burly islander, holding over his head a wooden trencher, in which lay disposed the remnants of our midnight feast, hidden from view, however, by a covering of breadfruit leaves. Astonished as I was at this exhibition, I could not avoid smiling at its grotesque appearance, and the associations it naturally called up. Mehevi, it seemed, was bent on replenishing old Marheyo's larder, fearful perhaps that without this precaution his guests might not fare as well as they could desire. As soon as I descended from the pai-pai, the procession formed anew, enclosing us in its center, where I remained part of the time, carried by Kori Kori, and occasionally relieving him from his burden, by limping along with spear. When we moved off in this order, the natives struck up a musical recitative, which with various alternations, they continued until we arrived at the place of our destination. As we proceeded on our way, bands of young girls, darting from the surrounding groves, hung upon our skirts, and accompanied us with shouts of merriment and delight, which almost drowned the deep notes of the recitative. On approaching old Marheyo's domicile, its inmates rushed out to receive us, and while the gifts of Mehevi were being disposed of, the superannuated warrior did the honors of his mansion with all the warmth of hospitality evinced by an English squire when he regales his friends at some fine old patrimonial mansion. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.